Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. Welcome back to another episode of Laser Graves. I'm your co-host, E.K. Wimmer, and over there...
Just the Lord of the Dogs.
Oh, you're that cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord of the Dogs. Whoa, are you okay? Do you need help carrying all your notes for this episode?
Yeah, I do. I got a pod. I parked it in front of our garage, and I filled it with papers.
Empty, invisible papers for no notes?
They weigh so much.
Okay. So I'll be taking the lead on this episode. And
good for you. Yeah. Bad time. Bad time you did something.
I pulled my own weight for Laser Graves.
Sitting here editing.
So
exhausting.
You have any thrift store finds?
No.
None?
Nothing.
Okay, well, I am going to take you on a journey because I have an epic find. It's not a thrift store find, but it is worthy of the... story on Laser Graves.
Okay.
For those listeners or new, we typically, especially when we do movies, we pick from our VHS vault, and we have a pretty large collection, especially of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently stumbled upon a situation in which somebody was willing to sell quite a bit of their VHS, but it was... It was a journey. It was something it was out of my comfort zone. We'll say that because I'm very introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out of my way because I saw a few photos and I thought if this is even kind of the case, this could be very rewarding.
Well, when you say you saw a few photos, you saw them online. You printed them up or printed them after blowing them up.
Well, I had to make sure that this was worth doing.
It was nutsoid.
They lived 3 hours away, which means minimum 6 hour round trip.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be going down that way anyway, and I thought, well, this is kind of do or die. Let's go for it.
Do or die. That's very extreme for VHS.
For collecting, this was more than I had bargained for. I'll say that.
I'm just going to say, like, as a general rule, you should never die for VHS.
Okay. Do or die was like just a phrase.
Okay.
Okay.
You were using it like really fast and loose. So
yeah.
I just wanted to clarify.
Rather than like firm and serious.
Mm-mm.
So
keep it tight.
Keep it tight, dog. So I agreed to it. Mm-hmm. I contacted this person. He seemed very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm very paranoid anyway to begin with. But I met this person 3 hours away.
And you brought your mom into the mix for this like full on, like, super opportunity for a serial killer.
It was actually because we make movies and short films and stuff. I was like, this is a great premise. But I was going to meet my mom right at that spot anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, just come over here in case I need some extra space because I think I got a bit more VHS than I had bargained for. I didn't know what I was in for, but I'll tell you the story because it was...
Lay it on me.
It was wonderful. Turns out he wasn't just selling some movies. He had run a video store for 27 years.
Did he tell you the name?
I have it because on some of them they're stamped still. And he apologized. He was like, I'm sorry, but everybody's ripping the labels off and stealing movies. So I started stamping them. And I said, no, that's like the provenance. I want the name of your video store.
But you don't remember it?
I don't have it off the top of my head, no. But it was in Oregon. And he ran one of the biggest video stores. I think the biggest video store in the whole state. And then... At one point in his career, he got an award, a national award for having one of the most diverse collections in the United States. And he went on and on about like priding himself on it. And so he was this really cool dude. He's moving out of country. He just can't take him with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard for him to part. But we had struck up this kind of, you know, understanding that he knew I wasn't just going to like list them on eBay, but that I was like a serious collector and they were going to the right place, opened up boxes, and it was, I mean, I can't even put it into words. And if you don't care about movies, not about VHS, if you don't care about movies in general, I don't know what to tell you. But if you do, it was boxes upon boxes of films that I would, as a collector, never be able to afford. But on top of it, the fact that they had this history behind them, they were his personal collection as a video store owner. He would get screeners, so they would send him films to like watch and decide if he wanted to actually purchase them for his video store, and he would just keep the screeners, which are much more rare, and they're in great condition. And I'm talking like an entire box of Full Moon Entertainment, like the Puppet Masters, the Subspecies, Demonic Toys, all that stuff. But then also, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I just took it all. We had a great conversation. We talked shop for a long time, nerded out over movies. I met his wife. And then when I got it was all said and done, time had like kind of calmed down, and I had a place where I could just open up the boxes and see what I even just agreed to. I started going through them, and I found films in there that were, you know, top of my list. Films like Society, which I've wanted to cover on this podcast for a long time. Troll 2, which is like one of our all-time favorite films. These are very expensive to collect, and they were all in there, and they're all screeners. Cutting Class, Sorority House Massacre 2. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And it was just this great experience. And I think, I don't know if I'll ever have this again, but it was so much fun. And I loved talking to somebody who just got it. They understood how much fun it was. We were talking mm-hmm. about, I said Troll 2, and he was like, oh, and he just went on and on about it. And I was like, this is a guy who, he made a living renting this movie to people, you know, and I just, mm-hmm. I think it's great. It was kind of sad, you know, the video stores went under once Netflix and all that came out, and this was the last grasp of his career, and he was passing it on to me.
Do you wonder how, I don't know, whatever his name is, who started Netflix, feels about killing video stores?
Kind of, and it's really interesting how when Netflix started, I will be the first to say this, we were all like, finally, we can get anything we want.
It was a real nice
thing. Yeah, we don't have to deal with like what's stuck at the video store, but it was amazing how quickly mm-hmm. so many people kind of had a backlash and were like, wait, but I don't get that like fun of not only just perusing, but talking mm-hmm. to like the store counter, you know, person and being like, what do you think? Because I used to do that a lot. I would ask like the...
Really?
Yeah, all the time. I would ask for recommendations. Weirdo. No, because you would get the nerdy like horror buffs that their only thing they wanted to do was one day they were going to make it in the horror film industry. And for now, they were going to work at a video
store. You're talking about like one person.
No, usually I'm talking about several people.
It's like usually a weird like kind of scary guy, and you're like, was my address on the information I filled out for my rental car?
I'm going to beg to differ. So one of the podcasts I listen to regularly is Shockwaves, and mm-hmm. all of them are like top tier in the horror industry.
Good for
and
them.
All of them at one point or another worked in video stores. It's just mm-hmm. it's just kind of the culture. And so I do miss that of being able to like talk to real people and then just perusing covers. Like that's how you yeah, and I, fun. Like that's what we did. It was an event to go look at like a trauma.
Sometimes
film,
a positive you know? Event that was fun and you'd be like, yay. And other times you're like, oh my gosh, I've been standing in this video store for my entire life. Like, let's just burn it. I don't care if I ever watch another movie again.
Or you get duped by an awesome cover in a shitty movie. Like, so much.
Yes.
You never know. Anyway, amazing experience. I had so much fun. And mm-hmm. let's just say we have
a billion
years worth of episodes VHS. Now. But it is really exciting and it's really fun stuff. A lot of the films we have fond memories of. And then a lot we have always wanted to watch and mm-hmm. have never seen. Unfortunately, a lot of them are 90s, and they're going to be off limits to this podcast unless...
we time travel.
Unless we time travel. To be determined.
Maybe.
Okay, well, anyway, that was my experience, and it was fun, and thanks for letting me tell everybody, because I really liked the guy a lot, and I love that I have his collection now, and I get to mm-hmm. like have a use for it on this podcast.
Yes. And I will say, I had a friend say, ugh, what are you going to do with all those VHS Eric's bringing back? It's not my thing. Like, I'll just watch a movie wherever, whatever. I don't
whatever
care.
Whatever format, yeah.
I mean, I'd rather just have less stuff personally. However, I told my friend that it makes you so happy. So I'm here for it. If it makes you happy, then great.
I think a lot of our listeners will understand that too. They get it.
Yep.
And so, unfortunately, this episode is not
a movie,
not VHS or anything. It's a book. And it's, can I just clear the air? How in the hell did this book even
you
come into our
it.
Life?
You, no, I did you not bought buy it. This. You bought it. Because I was like, fine, I'll finally read this dumb book you got at
you
a thrift store.
You said you were going to read it. And I'm like, I don't want to read that. Why did you bring this up?
You brought it and handed it to me. You got it at a thrift store. And I was like, ugh.
Okay, well, I feel like...
Now I got to read it.
I feel like a spirit placed it there for us to do an episode on.
A poltergeist.
Yeah, a ghost host.
Why don't they call them polterghosts? Whatever.
Okay, because I think it's like a foreign language.
Nope.
Okay. Maybe a Latin term?
No.
I'm just kind of spitballing here.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Let's
okay,
read it.
Okay, well, you don't need to go through any notes because you didn't take any. And
it wasn't necessary.
I need to pull up mine once again, as listeners will know.
Oh.
When I read books, I read them on the train commuting to work, which means they're on my phone. And you know what? I reached a conclusion this this time.
Yeah.
I'm embracing reading cheesy children's horror novels on a train.
You're that guy. Somebody's like, I saw the weirdest dude reading a children's novel.
I kind of started to take like, not pride, but like ownership of it because I saw this businessman who looked very uptight. Like he didn't like his life. He had his look together, but he looked very sad. And he looked over at me and I could see a silent judgment when he saw the cover of this book, which is like a teenage boy and girl, you know, grabbing hands and it says ghost host. But
yep, ghost
I
host.
Saw him look at it and I kind of looked back at him, like kind of the old punk in me from back in the day of my teenage years. I wanted to be kind of abrasive, but I was like, yeah, I'm reading ghost host. I'm
what
reading
is this. It?
What are you doing with your life, dude? And I just felt like I had a purpose for this. This was serving a greater purpose, and I am embracing it now. So, you know what? I'm done hiding it. I'm loud and proud with the teenage or young adult novels on a train. I loved reading this on the train, by the way.
You loved reading it, or you just loved that you were reading it?
No, I just love reading on the train. It's a really comforting, kind of relaxing thing. This book, on the other hand, is it's interesting.
Well, is it?
We'll get into it. I don't know if I'm as enthusiastic about this as I was with the last few books, but maybe my tune will change by the end.
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay, ghost host.
Ready, set, ghost.
Podcast. It is 1987 by an author named Marilyn Singer, who's actually
she's super
accomplished. Prolific.
Yeah.
But maybe not her best work. Who knows? To be determined.
It's not her best work.
So, okay, well, there. If you still want to listen, here we go.
Let's do this.
We're going to convince you.
Where's the to be determined? Like, let's see. Listen to this whole podcast and tell us.
Let's see if you want to hear us talk about what
I don't know.
Like.
I feel like the worst ones are the best. Where
That's
we're
true.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay. So, Ghost Host, it starts with... I guess this is my hard... I had a hard time getting into it because I didn't give two shits about this character. He's the football star. He's the all-star quarterback. His girlfriend's the head cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it all.
But he's hiding a dark secret.
A very dark secret. Boy, wait till we get into it.
Oh.
His life is rough. Like, super rough. Okay, so his name's Bart. But... nobody knows this, but his real name's Bartholomew.
First of all, trying to cool up the name Bartholomew with Bart instantly you've got a nickname, Bart Fart. That's what
Fartholomew. So Bart and his family move into a haunted house with apparently a ghost beagle that then never comes up again in the whole book. Nope. I was really sad about that.
I was so excited when I was like, there's a ghost beagle?
Ghost beagle would have been so cool.
Oh, it'd be like a little jerk dog.
He's right away described as, quote, dark. I was a little confused by that. Mm-hmm. But then I realized this is the 80s. This is a woman writing about tall, dark, and handsome.
Oh, okay.
So I think the term dark did not mean skin tone as much as like
So it wasn't racist. It was just...
It was more pedophile.
Oh, Marilyn was.
Which she was really talking
up.
About how sexy this teenage boy was.
Ugh.
Star quarterback, former nerd is what we find out. He
yeah, that's his dark secret.
His dark secret is he loved reading.
Yep.
Can you believe it?
He liked to read.
Oh.
It's 1987. We don't read.
You do not let anybody know that you love reading books, nerd.
Football, cheerleaders, not literacy.
Okay, so it opens with a lot of generic high school talk. Clearly written by an adult. I mean, it is so out of touch. It's like it's shocking.
I feel like I read this as a like 12-year-old and was unimpressed.
And also, right away in chapter one, his friends who are all on the football squad or team or whatever joke about his hot girlfriend and how he should share her because she's so sexy.
That's pretty gross.
Okay, well,
and
that's...
also, she sounds kind of like a buzzkill through the whole book. I'm like...
Really?
Yeah. She's okay. Like, when that's are we hanging out? When are we... Like, she's just keeping track of all of his time.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and say he was kind of an asshole with blowing her off constantly.
Yeah.
And she was eternally patient with him.
I feel like they both sucked.
They're high schoolers.
No.
That's like...
High schoolers aren't cool?
Every high schooler's what? Last name is sucks.
Oh.
So say a name.
Eric.
Eric sucks. That was my high school name. Okay. So Lisa sucks and Bart sucks.
Yep.
They're both high schoolers.
Yeah, they're both lame.
Okay. He sees, he looks up, he's walking home. Mm-hmm. He looks up in his window and he sees a silver, like, flickering light.
Yep.
And he thinks it's his brother.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. It's called Ghost Host. Chapter 2, Bart. Okay, oh my gosh, if I couldn't care about this anymore, because he's a football player.
Bart Fart.
He has a nightmare.
What?
Not only is he hiding a dark secret of reading.
Poor little BB Bart has night terrors.
Do you want to know what his nightmare is about?
Yeah, tell it to me.
A reoccurring theme through the whole book, that his luscious mm-hmm. head of awesome hair, he loses it. And he goes bald.
I feel like that's an 80s thing, though. I feel like men were a lot more concerned in the 80s.
I feel like in the 90s, people like Michael Stipe and Moby and stuff were like, screw it. I'm bald. Yeah. I'm all in.
I mean, what else is there to do? Be bald or don't be bald. Don't waste your time with high school dreams, Bart.
Bald and beautiful.
Okay.
I am baldiful.
Oh.
Okay. That was the original lyric.
Okay.
Christina Aguilera never shared that.
Yeah.
But I knew.
Okay.
Okay, so he has these ridiculous nightmares about being bald. Nobody cares.
Nope.
But, we get another fun fact. His little brother is a mathematical genius.
Handy.
Yeah.
Handy, handy.
Would you like to hear an excerpt?
Yep.
I think you would.
I would, even though I just read it.
Page 13. His head misses the bathtub's hard edge by inches. You jerk. You could have killed me. Bart said, sitting up. Not really, said Dusty. The distance between where you were standing and the tub is 7 feet, 4 inches. You're 5'8". If an object with a velocity of 3 miles an hour and the mass of 77 pounds strikes a... Spare me, groaned Bart. So, there's his brother.
I feel like Marilyn Singer went to a college, or maybe a high school, and spoke to the math professor and was like, so... Can you give me something a nerd would say here?
I like the idea of taking it seriously and being like, I'm writing my next novel and I'm researching mathematics.
Please.
What would happen if somebody almost fell and hit a table? Oh. Hypothetically speaking.
Bathtub.
A bathtub. An edge of a bathtub. Hypothetically speaking, there is an older boy and a younger boy. Go.
Mm-hmm.
That is the conversation they had.
Yep.
this is what we're dealing with. We're only in chapter two. Stay with us, folks. We're not normally this negative, but this is a rough one to get through.
I feel like we're being positive.
It's true.
Okay.
This was an excellent book. Over breakfast, his sister and Bart argue. And she says, next time you borrow my albums without asking and wake me up in the middle of the night to return them, I'll leave a surprise for you in your football helmet. You won't forget. Okay, tell
me. Did you automatically think she's going to poop?
She's going to dump. She's going to dump in his football helmet. There is.
Who doesn't poop in a football helmet if you're angry?
I put the book down and I thought about it. I picked the book back up and I read it and I thought, nope, there is zero other conclusion. She is definitely going to dump in his football helmet.
Yep.
Okay. Then I thought, I like this book. I'm definitely in. If the sister's willing to
dump. If she's going
to
poop,
in a football helmet.
So she's mad because things are starting to like scoot around the house.
Yeah. So slowly we start to see there's something that's
not
right.
He has books on the floor. She has records on the floor. Obviously, signs of a haunting.
Her name's Leanne, and his sister, seriously the coolest part of this whole book.
Yep.
She's a lead singer in a rock band, and she just threatened to dump in his football helmet.
Yeah. Like,
this is the coolest character
in the
book.
Why didn't we read a book about Leanne?
I thought that the whole time. Like, why is she not the lead? Okay, so weird things are starting to happen around the house. And Bart sees Dusty's toy planes. He's got like a mobile kind of thing.
He's a math guy.
And the planes detach from the strings and just start flying around the room. Okay.
So ghosts.
Why are ghosts now in the mood to spook? Because they've been there for 2 years was my question.
Because there's a new arrival.
That's what we're going to find out, right?
Yeah.
So also... So Bart has been lying to everybody, as we discussed earlier.
Because he's hiding his nerd secret that he likes to read.
He wants to, he's lying about studying on Sunday, but really all he wants to do is go read Macbeth. Wow, what a plot. Like, I'm all in on this football jock who has good looks, star of the high school, a picturesque cheerleader girlfriend that everybody's like, pining for, and all he wants to do is read Macbeth. Mm-hmm. He has it.
But he doesn't understand Macbeth when he finally does
so
read it.
Okay, but he doesn't want to get caught reading Macbeth. Okay. Can I? I've got another.
Hold on. Think about you reading Ghost House on the train.
Yeah.
Shamelessly.
Okay, so he is so ashamed of reading a book in front of his friends, that he rides his bike out into the middle of the forest to be alone, starts reading Macbeth, and is so overcome with emotion that he stands up and starts acting out. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to read you a passage?
Okay, do it.
From page 28. Bart stood up with the play in his hand and began to read it out loud. Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle towards my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. He reached out with his free hand. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not? Fatal vision, sensible, to feeling as to sight. He dropped his voice. Or art thou but a dagger in my mind? He stared ahead of him, almost expecting to see the imaginary knife. Okay, so that's who we're dealing with.
Wow, you got real into that.
And scene.
It's really strange that you brought this costume to wear.
Well, I started this whole podcast.
Are you hiding a secret?
Yeah, but I'm not going
to
tell you.
Do you like to read?
My real name's Eric Tholomew.
Oh. Okay, Fart Tholomew.
Okay, so he reads it. Uh-huh. And is busted.
By a nerd, so it's okay.
RV, the nerd.
Spelled not like...
No, RV.
Not RV. It's A-R-V-I-E.
Yeah,
he's a nerd. He's not a, like, recreational camper.
He surprises Bart doing this monologue by himself, like, pacing back and forth in the middle of the forest.
If I had written this book, I would have had RV go, nerd alert!
I love what RV says. He says, I didn't mean to interrupt your performance. parts like, I wasn't performing.
Football.
Football, dude. Football. Go, go, go. Yeah, and so he gets busted.
And he throws a football and runs away.
Well, he trips and twists his ankle. And Arvy's, like, starting to talk to him. They don't communicate because he's a nerd, clearly. Mm-hmm. Arvy's great, great, great uncle was a psychologist, one of the greatest. Okay, can I ask a question? This was written in, what, 87? Seven. We haven't done an 87 one in a while.
I feel like we have.
How many years back is a great, great, great uncle?
Basically far back enough that you only share like 8% of your DNA.
Was psychology even like a practice at this point?
No.
Okay. I could be wrong, but
it was 1475.
Okay.
Okay.
I just was confused. Also, not only was he a psychologist, like a thriving psychologist these many years ago, mm-hmm. but this many years ago.
He was a parapsychologist, right?
He studied ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't buying it for a second.
It's a load of ghost poop.
Okay, flash forward. Are you
ghost
ready?
Ghost poop in a football helmet.
Yep. Speaking of football, there's a football game on TV.
Oh.
And there's so many lies happening right now. Dusty's planes are also back to normal.
Uh-huh.
And all that Bart can do is lie. Constantly lie about wanting to sneak out and read.
Yep.
Because his life is so hard.
He wants to read a book.
Yep. Then Bart jokes with his friend Greg, who's like one of his closest friends, who is like, Greg's like, share your girlfriend with me, basically. Mm-hmm. Ha ha, just kidding. And then Bart's like, well, you know, she has a sister. And he's like, ooh, do tell.
Yep.
And then he talks about like, well, she's really cute. She's got this rockin' bod and she's 12. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. And instead of it being like, dude, what are you talking about? Greg's like, well, maybe. I haven't had much luck with the ladies. So I'm like, what are we reading? Keep in mind, this was written by a woman. So yeah. Fail.
80s are weird.
So then Bart's parents are headed out overnight. So Bart's going to be alone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart and Lisa go to school dance. There's apparently a dance.
It's Halloween like dance. Yeah, Halloween homecoming.
Yeah, and he's dressed as a king and she's a queen. And his friend's like, dude, I stashed a ton of beer in a bush. And we were going to go party at your house.
I think of the ton. Wasn't it just a six pack?
It was like a couple six packs, I think. Okay. In a bush. And we're going to go party at your house later. And they do. They actually go to the party. They're drinking beer.
In the basement.
They're all getting like loosey-goosey and wild. And poor Bart. Oh, poor Bart. You know what he wants to do while all of his friends are hanging out drinking beer and partying?
Read.
He wants to read Macbeth.
Read.
His life sucks. And so later the guys are like drunk at this point. And his mom was like sewing ballerina costumes
Tutus.
For a local play.
Mm-hmm.
And they all try him on and rip him.
Yep.
His friends are way cooler than
they
he
do.
Is.
They do sound cool.
I would have loved a party where a bunch of drunk guys are wearing tutus dancing around. He loses his mind, by the way, and he's like, party's over.
Get out of here.
Kicks them all out.
He's so concerned about being a nerd, but the second a tutu and a lamp are shattered, he's over it. And he's like, I don't care if I'm a nerd. This is too far.
Yeah, he's like, get. And then, he goes to sleep because everybody leaves, and he wakes up to a sound in the basement.
Ghost host.
And he goes down there, and you know what appears?
What?
A tutu, and it arrives, like, it stands up without any head or arms or anything, a floating tutu.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's terrifying.
And it comes at him.
Bone
and
chilling.
And then he's like, ah! And he runs up to his room, and then his closet opens. And his uniform comes out, and it's floating towards him, and he is freaking out. But it's just a really super cute totes adorbs ghost.
Well, no, there was a bad ghost chasing him.
Right. But
and then
who appears to
a
him?
A cutie pie ghost, who's like a ghost of a 14-year-old girl from the early 20th century.
From 1918. Her name's Millicent.
Ah, Millie.
And she's 14. She died of the flu.
Yep.
And she needs Bart's help. So here's the plot of the story. Beyond him, like, struggling to read Macbeth and not tell his friends that he likes reading, is that she needs his help because there's a new ghost named Stryker, which I love. I just thought of X-Men right away, but Stryker's in the house, and he is a butthole. And all the other ghosts, 9 ghosts in the house, in addition to Stryker.
Surprise, 9 ghosts.
Are like, get him out of here.
Because he's a poltergeist.
Yep. And the other ghosts are living and watching everything. How awkward.
Oh, I know. I'd be like, wait. Oh, what about when I had that Indian food last
night? I hate everything about this.
Yep.
I would be so annoyed if a ghost was like, yeah, I know everything. I watch
you
constantly.
I watched you do this, that, the other.
Okay, so she comes to him and says, I'll strike a deal with you. You have to get rid of Stryker because he's ruining everything for us.
Well, the premise is that Stryker's making such a stink that if he, like, the parents are going to be on to him and hire, like, an exorcist. And then they'll all be evicted, not just Stryker. So she's saying, I'm approaching you so you can get just Stryker gone. We're not doing anything. We're just watching.
We're going to always be watching you.
Staring at you while you get out of the shower.
Yeah, but we can do something in exchange. Let's make a deal. Do you want money? And he's like, I don't want money.
Nope.
I'm a teenage jock. What do you think I want? And what do you think he wants?
Football.
He wants ghosts to intervene, like angels in the outfield style, to help him win the championship. Uh-huh. Yep. The most unlikable character ever. Okay, so then nothing happens, like, for so long.
Wait, hold on. He tells her this, and she's like, let me check. And then they come back and confirm, like, I spoke to all the other ghosts, and we can, like, 100% beat anybody.
Except for, like, the 67 Packers.
Yeah, whatever.
Ha, ha, ha.
Whatever. Wah, wah. Okay. Was this meant to be geared towards, like, boys?
I don't know. So the parents stay overnight, and then they decide to stay another day. So he's got one more day alone in the house. Yeah. And then he decides to head to the library and start researching ghosts, because now he's got a deal. Like, he's going to win that championship if he can just figure out how to get rid of this ghost. He runs into RV, the nerd, at the library and discuss ghosts. Mm-hmm. And apparently RV is, like, really into ghosts because his great-great-great uncle was.
A parapsychologist.
Then, flash forward, Millie appears. We learn a little bit about her. She's trained in the feminine arts. Mm-hmm. She's like a geisha. She knows how to, like, entertain in all forms. But all she really wants to do is be a tomboy.
Climb fences.
And I kind of like this idea. All she wanted to do is also be a Hollywood stunt woman.
Well, like, he's like, you sound like you should have been a Hollywood stunt woman. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. I kind of like Millie. Then he finds... he's out in the forest again, you know, like reciting Macbeth, a classic case Macbeth reader.
Like you do.
And there's this cabin out there that's kind of dilapidated, and he's in there and he's rubbing his hands across, like, a
mantle
fireplace, and it opens up a secret compartment in the log cabin. Whatever. He finds some papers and he puts it away. He doesn't think much of it. Then his parents come home and they grill him on why is this lamp broken, because his dumb friends, when they were drunk, broke it. And also, why are the dishes broken? The dishes were his sister had broke them, but he covered for her.
Yeah, it's really an unimportant detail.
So unimportant. Millie and Bart talk some more. She's really nosy, by the way. She's like, so I'm getting the sense that you and your girlfriend are, like, not doing well. Why is that?
Do you want a ghost girlfriend?
Yeah. Talk about psychologists. Yeah.
And then, I mean, I feel like most of the book is, like, from here on out, him just worrying about Stryker.
Okay, so this is where I lost it on the book.
Yes. Ugh.
There are chapters, like, multiple chapters, where all he does is comes up with excuses to stay home so that he can, like...
Intervene
when Stryker the ghost starts messing around with, like, moving cups and stuff like that, because he doesn't want them to know that there's a ghost.
He likes Millie so much now.
That could have been funny for, like,
a chapter.
Yeah, but not for, like, 7 chapters.
It's a snooze fest.
It's really bad. Okay, so then he's so distracted and so sleep deprived from all of this that he loses a football game. He ditches Lisa again constantly. And then he goes out to eat with his parents after lying. And some other girl who has a crush on him comes over and
Jillian.
And his mom's like, hey, come sit with
Join
us.
Join us.
And then Lisa happens to be there too and is like, oh, why is she here? And there's this drama.
Teenage high school.
All these characters
drama.
Are so unlikable. Then there's another chapter of him trying to keep the ghost from being found out. And I just, my notes here are like, dude, I'm full on board at this point. Like, change it. And then you know what happens? It changes. Because Stryker appears to him in his room and is like wanting to throw a football at him and starts tackling him. And like, he gets a bloody nose because it's so violent.
It's very like suddenly extremely aggressive.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, now we're moving. Now we're cooking. And then he...
Now you're cooking with gas.
He thinks he gets rid of him, but then goes up into his room and on the mirror it says, who's the sucker now? But I don't remember him ever calling Stryker a sucker.
Nope.
Okay, then Bart skips school again, goes out of town because he's like, I'm not finding any cool books on ghosts in my local library. I'm going to go to a bigger town. And guess who's there?
RV.
RV's there. And he has a bunch of books on ghosts. And he's like, I'll give them to you because your sister's so cool.
Yeah, it's true. She is cool.
She's way cool. And then Bart gets home and finds that his family is like, I'm out of here. What's happening?
Yeah.
All the furniture is on the ceiling. So after chapters and chapters and chapters
of him trying
to avoid. Trying to like avoid a ghost, now they're all in. And I'm like, okay, we are like literally at chapter 20 at
20,000.
So Arby says that his uncle, his great-great-great uncle, who was the ghost psychologist, developed a machine, apparently, because he was also an inventor, that could change the behavior of a bad ghost to a good ghost.
Yep. That's very convenient for this particular scenario.
But the notes on this machine were lost, and he's never found them. And Bart is like, come with me. I know where the notes are. And he goes into the secret pass or the compartment that he found in the wood cabin that happened to belong to RV's family back in the day. Sure enough,
there they are.
It is the blueprints to a machine that can make bad ghosts be less ornery. It's like a Snickers bar.
Ornery. It's yeah.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
And then they decide to build the machine. Mm-hmm. So Bart is like, we have to build it.
And if this were like a movie, it would be a montage of them like putting it together, researching, hawking jewels to get the right things. But
yeah, but apparently because, okay, so poor Bart. We've talked about how troubled his life is.
Yeah, he's got the hidden nerd reality.
His life is so hard with being the star quarterback that the only way to fund this machine is to have money. And he's like, I'll just give you like $500 because I have money set aside as a high schooler and I don't work.
Well, he had like savings bonds.
Okay, well, he cashes it in, tells RV everything. They build it and his life is now falling apart. Because somebody at school saw him hanging out with RV.
Two nerds.
Yeah. And Bart is like, this is the end of my life. Now everybody saw me with a nerd.
That's it. I mean, what's he supposed to do?
This is rough.
He's going to have to change schools.
I had to put the book down and collect myself for a second. Because
I feel sick
so
just
bad.
Talking about it.
Okay. It's game time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Big game, yes.
Big game that he's
got
to win.
Lots of football talk.
Speaking of football talk, what is with... Okay, first off, the names of the football teams are stupid to begin with.
I kind of liked them.
One of the football teams is named the Surgeons.
Uh-huh.
And the author keeps doing things like the football players being like, we're going to slice up those surgeons. Yeah. I was so...
That's exactly how teenagers talk.
That's right. Okay, well, they're going to slice up the surgeons. And RV...
I'm going to give those surgeons a hysterectomy.
Yeah. RV decides to use the ghost machine, but it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghost is now
like
pissed.
During a game, because the whole idea was to get all of the family and everybody out of the house watching the game, and RV was going to sneak in.
Not only was he going to sneak in, he was bringing like all these, this team of paranormal investigators.
Yes, which I imagine is just a bunch of people dressed like the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. With like Ghostbuster costumes from the Halloween store.
Shades and like black pleather.
I'm getting a reading.
My aura is glowing purple today.
For some reason, when I use this girlfriend monitor, it keeps beeping slower and slower as girls get closer and closer.
You in particular are a perfect match.
So they come in to witness it because he wants his uncle's name to be like, you know,
restored.
He was the one that created this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work, and the ghost is now really pissed. It turns out that the calculations for this machine were wrong.
Arvy's not such a good nerd.
The only way they could fix it is if they had a mathematical genius.
Who even knows a mathematical genius?
I know one named Dusty, his little brother.
Oh, right.
Okay, so he does the mathematical changes. It works. He alters the course of the behavior of Stryker.
Mm-hmm. Now Stryker's nice.
All the other ghosts now appear. Mm-hmm. And one of the ghosts is holding this ghost by the ear because he's in trouble.
Really?
And basically, Stryker was Dennis the Menace.
Yep.
That's all.
Like
this...
Dennis the Menace that like gave him a bloody nose. But
all of this film was a little boy with, like, as I imagine, overalls and a slingshot in his back pocket.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. It's so dumb.
And then we close it out with, it's the championship game. And you know what? The ghosts had an agreement, right?
Yep.
If he got rid of the poltergeist or the...
Lead them to victory.
He would lead them to victory. Okay. Also, by the way, I don't even remember what the coach's name is.
Darren Von Blorgen.
It's Dibbets. Coach Dibbets. I, till the moment the book was done, read it as Coach Diabetes. I could not stop reading Diabetes. So anyway.
And of course you read it with the accent, Diabetes.
Diabetes, and he rolled off a horse. But
okay.
It was full on Angels in the Outfield. They're like...
Seemingly Angels in the Outfield.
Bloopers, slippery hand, butterfingers.
And everything goes right.
Kicks are going crazy. They are lifting up into the air to make catches that should be too high. But wait, he then like wins the championship because mm-hmm. his life is like, he just needed one victory in life.
Uh-huh.
Right?
He's never had anything go
his way. His gorgeous cheerleader captain girlfriend waiting for him wasn't enough.
Uh-huh.
The press wasn't enough. Like,
mm-hmm.
he needed a victory.
More.
And you know what he gets?
What?
The ghost did not intervene.
What? They didn't?
Turns out they thought the high school was one place, but a mall had been built there. So they were just haunting a mall looking for a football game.
Just an accidental haunting en route to a football game.
He did that all by himself. And he was kind of like, you know what? Good, because that means I didn't need ghost's help.
That Macbeth nerd.
But you know how it ends?
How?
Him going, wait, you didn't help me? You still owe me. This is like typical like teenage fashion. And then in true jock form, he says, I know how you can make it up to me. Basketball season starting. Help me win in basketball. And that's the book.
I feel like she should have said, I'll just help you out by not telling anybody about what we've watched you do.
Yeah.
Like, lay off, Bartholomew.
There is a scene in the book, by the way, where he's so distraught. It says he goes into the bathroom and says, Millie, where are you? And I'm thinking,
why would you go there?
Like, you're summoning a ghost to the bathroom.
He's sitting on the toilet. Millie!
I can't think straight.
Millie, I need some Imodium.
Okay, what did you think of this book? That's Ghost Host, by the way, everybody.
Double thumbs down. You?
Oh, wow.
I will never read it again.
I am all for... I love blind reads and blind watches for Laser Graves.
Yeah, I do too, for sure. This was like,
this was such a bad book.
I feel like the author had a deadline and she was just like, I'm going to fill it. This book's getting done. I'm going to do some research on math, like two
and
formulas
football.
And like five football plays.
Okay, so devil's advocate would be if you like football, maybe and you wouldn't be as annoyed.
Football and Macbeth.
But it was impossible to care about this character.
No.
And I did not sympathize for him in the slightest.
No.
His life was perfect.
And what's a little haunting.
Yeah. And he was haunted by a cute ghost.
And like the jerk ghost only got jerky when he started attacking him. If he had left the poltergeist alone,
yeah,
all would have been fine.
It was such a mess.
Okay.
Okay, well... There.
Wah, wah, wah.
Hope you loved hearing us like bitch for 40 minutes. But
yeah.
This is what you get when you find a book that says made in the 80s and you hope for the best.
It has a ghostly cover.
It had so much potential and it was just such a boring book.
Who was the host?
Oh, good question.
Okay.
Was he? Because he was hosting the ghost.
I thought that I was waiting for a possession the entire time.
He was the ghost host with the most.
The ghostest hostess with the mostest.
Yeah. Okay. I was waiting for him and Millie to have a like relationship. It was very misleading.
She just gave him advice.
She dissed him at the end. She was like, goodbyes are hard.
Yeah.
Bye.
Later.
See you in the bathroom.
Gonna watch you poop later.
You need to wipe again, buddy. So,
two ply.
So that is Ghost Hosts.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Well, it's good. Just go ahead and catalog this one.
We read it so you don't have to.
That's right. We read it for your enjoyment.
We took this bullet for you. And in gratitude, you could pass this on.
Through a good rating on iTunes.
Yes. Share it with a friend. Give us a rating or a review that is positive. We would appreciate it.
Just be like, these podcasters go above and beyond.
Yeah.
They were willing to do an episode on a subject that no other podcast will ever do an episode on.
Nope.
Ghost Host.
Ghost Host.
So
Ghost Host.
Ghost Host a rating for us. And we are on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're on Instagram at LaserGraves.
At Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And I'm at Death at 33 RPM. And follow us. Thanks for going along on the Ghost Host journey. And we'll see you on the flip side.
We'll be back. We're not going to ghost you.
I'll tell you what. Next week's episode, we're coming with something you definitely know.
What?
We are not pulling a Ghost Host on you.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.